How y'all doing out there? Yeah? Morning, Internet. Good to have you here. I want to, you know, again, I'm just, every week, it's like God shows up and it's what we pray and ask Him to do. It's what we believe He's going to do. How many of you believe God's going to show up when you ask Him to? Let me ask that question again. How many of you believe it when you ask God He's going to show up that He's actually going to do that? You know, and that is our prayer every week, is that as you come in and you're here, that you would experience the living God, that you would have an authentic encounter with the living God, because he is real, he's alive. You know, he's not distant, but he is as close as the person sitting next to you. And so when he does things, and we kind of have this loose plan, and then we let him do what he does, and that's what he does. And so I'm not surprised whatsoever that Jenny was in tune with the Holy Spirit to ask Rick to come up and pray, and that Rick's prayer was right in line with the message this morning. So that just tells me that how much God cares about you, loves you, knows what you're going through, and wants to give you a word this morning. So that's what we're going to do, all right? Just a few quick things. Today's July 9th, right? I know that. Tonight, we're having a Next Step gathering. So if you started coming, what that's for is if you started coming to the church maybe in the last few months, and it's an opportunity to come together, get to know some other folks who have been coming, get to know some of the leaders here. So that's tonight at 5:30 right here at the church. You can stop by our Get Connected table in the lobby after service to sign up for that if you want. Next week, Pastor Ted's having a new believers class. That's during the second service, during the 10:30 service. So if you recently gave your heart to Christ, if you recently began that relationship, that journey with the Lord, and it's kind of like, well, what do I do next? What do I do now? Pastor Ted takes the second service, takes that hour to sit with you, kind of talk you through some basics and give you some pointers, and again, time of getting to know one another and know some of the leadership here. So that's that. And then we also want to point out next week is churchyard sale. Ooh, who's ready to get rid of some stuff from your house? Yeah, okay. So starting next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday. After church, I can bring my stuff. All right, so next Sunday after church, you start bringing your stuff here. If you want to donate to the yard sale and then be here, you know, lots of help is, of course, needed. It's a great time to get together, great time to serve, and an outreach to our community, and, you know, purge your house of some stuff too, all of which benefits our benevolence ministry. Benevolence, the team that reaches out to, takes care of needs within our church or within the community, food or resources or any of those things. So funded completely by offerings, and so that's a big fundraiser. So that's that. All right. Well, we're going to continue on now with our study through the Gospel of John, chapter 5. We've been off, you know, kind of took a pause there for a few weeks. So this study, you know, we're just kind of settling in and going through John bit by bit. And, you know, you can see our title this morning is Living Without Fear. You may be wondering what this picture is about, and we'll talk about that picture a little bit. I'm a visual. Anybody else here a visual learner? Like, okay, so that's why I put pictures up here, because I'm a visual learner. It helps me to grasp a concept, you know. Is any part of this, like, anybody look at this and go, oh, man, no way, right? That's the open ocean there, right? And you got a little buoy there, and the ocean's real pretty, but what are we afraid of? What's underneath it, right? What's beneath the surface? What can't we see? So we want to talk about that, and, you know, the idea of living without fear. How many of you is anybody here today who can say, I'm not afraid of anything? Really? One person. Not afraid of anything. Not anything. Good. Good for you. You want to come preach this message? I think the reality is that that the vast majority of us can identify something that we're afraid of. And so, you know, what is fear? Fear, and so for the purpose of today's message, we're talking about the, according to Webster's dictionary there, right, the unpleasant emotion that is caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. It's a pretty good definition. Again, you look at this picture, you go, yeah, I don't think so. I don't know what's beneath the surface there that is going to be harmful, dangerous, fatal. And that's how we apply to anything that's in our lives that we are fearful of. And what does that really come down to? A loss of control. We don't have control over a situation, and so therefore we are fearful of it because we cannot guarantee an outcome. that is safe, beneficial, healthy, any of those things. Now, understand that there are different kinds of fear, and the Bible makes a very clear distinction on those things. In the Bible, the Greek word phobos, phobia, we are familiar with that word, phobia. There's all kinds of phobias out there. And so when the Bible uses the word fear, it can mean fear, terror, affright. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been in terror before? Like, not a good time, not a pleasant experience, not one that we want to repeat. There is also a fear that is an astonishment or an amazement, a reverential fear or awe or respect or deference. And so there are these two kinds of fear, and I would say in reality there's three kinds of fear in this world. There is a fear that comes from the devil, that comes from the enemy, the liar of old. And that's the fear that we're talking about today that we want to live without, that God has called us to and equipped us to overcome and to live without. We don't need that kind of fear. And that's the kind of fear that is this terror, this abject unsettling, this paralyzing fear that keeps us either stuck, keeps us from moving, or causes us to do something that is irrational, causes us to act in a way that is not logical, not healthy, not beneficial. And I've often talked about this, that in this setting here or in my previous setting as a law enforcement officer and as an instructor, that there are these kinds of fear. And that kind of fear, we don't want to listen to that voice. That's ultimately what this message is about, is helping us to overcome that voice that wants us to live in fear, fear of the unknown, fear of a loss of control, right? There is a fear that is for God, and we're going to talk about that, right? This awe, respect, this deference. In fact, that's really our main point this morning, is that to live without fear, terror, is to live in the fear, the awe, respect of the Lord. So we by living in this kind of fear, we live without the other one. That's a pretty good deal, and that's why I laugh, because when Rick gets up and prays and he says, you know, the Lord says, there's a way, but you got to do it my way. Right here. That's exactly what we're saying this morning. We got to do things God's way. We have to live in respect and admiration and obedience to Him, and when we do that, then this goes away. Then we don't live with that fear, that terror, that loss of control. That's how we get there. And then the third part I feel is worth mentioning is that there is this there is a fear that comes from the devil. There is a fear for God, and then there is a fear that comes from Him that we absolutely should listen to. And what I mean by that is that when you're in a relationship with God, and maybe even when you're not, because He's always talking to us. It's just a matter of whether we can hear Him or not, or whether we're being intentional about dialing in that frequency so that we hear Him clearly. He's always talking to us, and His Spirit will absolutely speak to us, guard us, keep us from danger, lead us in His paths, lead us to the things that are going to advance His kingdom and keep us from being waylaid or trapped by the enemies there. So if you ever get that sense of, man, I don't think I should, if you ask the Lord these things, like, Lord, which way should I drive, go to church or go to work or wherever, and He tells you, I want you to go this way, we should listen to that voice. The old proverbial, don't go down the dark alley. If you get this unsettling in your spirit that says, there's something not right about this situation, we should listen to that voice. Husbands, wives, you're in agreement with your spouse and they think, hey, I think we should maybe go, what do you think about doing this? And you get this, I don't think so. And it's not a fear, it's not a control, it's not something in your mind where you're going, well, I don't like that. It's something within you that says, it's like this hesitation. We should absolutely listen to that voice, because that's God telling you, hey, there's something out there that I don't want you to fall into. Or He's going to lead you and say, instead of that, do this. That's what He does most times. Rather than a no, it's instead of that, it's this. He wants you to do this because that's going to put you in the right place at the right time to be in the right situation to either receive His blessing or to be His instrument in advancing His kingdom. So those kinds of fear. But today, we want to talk about how do we overcome. We're going to be honest about the fears that we have, the things that we go, yep, nope, not doing that, right? daughter loves to play this game with us for some reason. Would you rather? And she's always got some ridiculous things. I'm like, neither of those things is a viable choice. No, I got to pick one, right? The point we're making today is that we do not have to live in fear, because God has removed, has absolutely removed beyond any shadow of a doubt, the biggest and the origin point of all fear, and that is the fear of death. He has removed it completely. And so because that one's off the table, and because every other fear we have is related to that, we do not have to live in fear of anything in this world. And that's an incredible place to be. It is the abundant life that Jesus has promised, where we experience his blessing, not just in eternity, but in the here and now, and in every area of our lives. That's what God wants us to be, completely well. So that's what we're going to do this morning, and we're going to do that by reading John chapter 5, the next couple of verses here in John chapter 5. As always, if you're here for the first time, and you don't know any of the previous messages, as we're going through the Gospel of John, just working through it verse by verse, we encourage you, you know, go to our website, go to bmcc.cc. All the messages are there. You can watch the live stream archives, listen to the audio, those things. What has happened so far in John chapter 5 is that Jesus has gone to Jerusalem. He's going up to the temple. As he passes nearby the temple, there's this pool where all the people who are sick and infirm are there waiting for a miracle from God to show up, so that one of them would be healed. And Jesus picks this guy out of the crowd who's been lame and sick for 38 years, and Jesus heals him. And Jesus is asking the question, you know, first of all, do you want to be well? Do you want to put yourself in the best position to receive God's blessing? And then he encourages him and challenges him to stay well. Don't return to a state of this religious judgmentalism, religious adherence to the law that is going to put you back into a worse state than you were before. Do you want to stay well? And then he talks about how God the Father is always at work, because that's what God's business is, to set us free. He's always at work trying to do that and work in our lives to set us free, not just from our sin, but in every area of our lives. He's always looking for those opportunities. And so Jesus says, as the Father does, so do I. I'm always looking for those opportunities. And so we encourage you to always be looking, be busy about the Father's business. It is good to always be working, as long as it's God's business. And there's a difference between working for God and working for yourself, which is just going to be endless and pointless and fruitless and never satisfying, and that's the kind of work we don't want to be doing. But to always be busy about God's business. That's what we've covered so far. And of course, then, because it's Jesus, everywhere he goes, he causes these ripple effect kind of things. It causes kind of a bit of a stir, and I'm using that phrase lightly. He gets in, causes a big turmoil with the religious leaders, who are now upset and offended that Jesus dared to heal somebody on the Sabbath when he's supposed to be resting. And so this is the beginning of the aftermath of that, and how Jesus responds to the religious leaders. And it's one of the sermons that he kind of preaches. And anytime we encounter one of the sermons in the Gospels, we kind of have to slow down and take it bit by bit rather than just gloss over it. So understand that this sermon, you know, we're going to make a series of sermons about this sermon, okay? But this is what he says so far. Let's read John chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. We're going to read the five or six verses here. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, let's just hold on a second there. That's a big key part there, and that's why I highlighted it here. Gives them life. Everybody say that again. Gives them life. Even so, the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. That's important. Jesus is telling us why he came. He's giving us the motivation. He's giving us the reasoning for God the Father sending the Son into the world. It's to give us life. Let's read on. For not even the Father judges anyone, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And we're just going to pause there because, these are clues as we go through, as you're studying through the scriptures. When you see something like that repeated within in a short span, you kind of pay attention to that because this is important. This is what Jesus is trying to tell us. And what is he trying to tell us? That there is a path, there is a way to come out of the judgment of God and into life. Out of death, into life. Now, that's kind of why we're here, isn't it? Right? How many of you want to pass out of death and into life? That's why we're here. That's why we go to church. That's why we have this relationship with God, because I don't want to die. And when we say die, we're thinking about eternity. I don't want to die eternally. I don't want to spend forever separated from God in a place of torment, in a place of judgment. I want to be in God's good side, and I want to receive life. And Jesus is telling us, he's telling his disciples here, and then telling us, this is why I came. This is what I came to do. And so Jesus is telling us what he's going to do, and then he's going to do it, and then he'll tell us what he told us, right? And that's why we continue on all these years later saying, this is what Jesus said he would do, and he's offering the proof to his disciples that you can take this to the bank, that I am who I said I am, because I told you what I was going to do, and then I did it, right? And so the whole purpose of this is that God has come, sent his son in to give us life. And we have to start here, and this is, I understand this might be basic, rudimentary for some of us, but there's probably people here who have never heard it put this way, and that is, we have to understand all of humanity has a default ending, and that is judgment, death, and eternal separation from God. That is what we are destined for as human beings because of sin, because every single one of us have sinned, right? Romans 3:23. All have sinned? Yeah. It's Romans 3:23. Because I have Romans. Well, you sit a minute here. I have the other Romans in here, so I got confused because I'm on the fly. So I know that Romans 3:23, thank you, says, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. There is this past tense and a present tense in there that says no one is excluded from this. We all mess up. We all sin. We all do things that are counter to God's ways. And the result of that is that there's a penalty. And so Jesus is telling us that, hey, when I come back to this, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. The implication here is that this is what awaits everybody, judgment and death. Why? Because of our sin nature. Because we sin, and so the result of that is the road that everybody's on is a dead end. Okay? The default ending, judgment. Judgment for what? Our sin. What is sin? Sin is a trespass. It's a trespass against a boundary. It's going past a place where God has said, don't go beyond this because it won't go well for you. It's a violation of his moral law. That's what sin is. God has established these things. He has established them for our benefit, for our growth, so that we could be happy, healthy, and whole. And he says, don't go beyond that. And when we do, that's sin. We understand, our entire culture is based upon this premise of that there are things that we should and should not do for the benefit, the health of ourselves or other people. And so we have this entire justice system that has all these things that say, you shall not, don't do these things, and they range in this grading, consider it a spectrum, if you will, that on the one hand, you have these summary offenses, these things that, they put you maybe at a potential risk or they cause a minor inconvenience, jaywalking, loitering, I don't know of anybody who's actually ever been arrested for loitering. Anybody want to admit to that? Of course it would be Lloyd. Why am I not surprised by that? Loitering. That's good. That's good. That was Jenny's joke. All right. We have these summary offenses that, okay, that's a minor, and when those things happen, what are they? They present a threat or a danger to yourself or to somebody else or an inconvenience, or they impede upon every American's right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's where we say, okay, this is where that threshold is, because now you've crossed that threshold, you've crossed that boundary, now you're impeding somebody else's attempt, and so therefore that's a wrong, okay? And on the other end of that spectrum are the truly horrific things that human beings do to one another, rape, murder, and so on, right? And so we have summaries, misdemeanors, felonies, and everything in between there. And our entire justice system says if you commit a wrong, there should be a penalty for that wrong, and the penalty should fit the crime, right? And so that's why, you know, if you are loitering out there, then you don't get the firing squad. And if you commit a murder, then you don't get just a simple fine and a slap on the wrist and off you go. We try to tailor-make those penalties to fit the crime. That's from our human point of view. That gives us that's what allows order to be established, okay? Because we understand that there are penalties if I cross those boundaries. That's from our human point of view. We have to see things, though, from God's point of view. And so if you could look at this spectrum from his side of things, you would see that all of these things are trespasses, are violations, and they all carry the same penalty. To trespass his law is to sin, and God and sin cannot coexist. And so therefore, the sin, no matter how minor, less impactful they are or how great they are, is all the same. It's all sin and all carries the same penalty, which is judgment, death, and separation from God. That's what happens, right? And so for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23a, the wages of sin is death. What are wages? Wages are something you earn. It's something you earn in return for work that you did. And so the Bible tells us that we all work at sin, and so therefore we earn the wages of death. All of us. That's the bad news. But the gospel is the good news, and because God is good all the time, he has not just given us the bad news, he has provided us the way out. Okay, and so I also want to understand, though, however, as we read the scriptures, and we have to take not just the convenient bits that we like, but take all of this book and wrestle with it and understand how it all fits together, is that even God understands that there are different acts that we can commit that have a greater impact than others do. And that's why he takes such a hard stance against things like sexual immorality, things like a judgmental heart, things like unforgiveness, because he says those things carry this greater weight, this greater ripple effect, not just for yourself, but for the people around you, that he says these are the things you really have to watch out for and guard against, even though it's all sin. Are you with me on that? Maybe you don't believe it yet. Because we have a hard time with that. Because as human beings, we like to, that's how we justify ourselves and how we feel better about ourselves. See, I'm a good person because I've never done this, that, or that. I was only loitering. I never robbed anybody. I never killed anybody. I never did any of those things. You know, I never had an affair or whatever. But to God, it's all the same, even though there are ramifications that reach far beyond loitering or something like that. All right? So the wages of sin is death. God says nobody can be perfect. And nobody can pay that penalty because it means eternal separation from him forever. And so he has provided the way out, and that is the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, because he loves us, he has done for us what we could not do for ourselves, and that is make the way out. How did that happen? Jesus Christ came to earth, lived as a perfect human being, knew no sin as a human, became sin on the cross, took all of our sin upon himself, paid the debt, paid with his life, died, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit was resurrected, defeating the power of sin, defeating death, and defeating the eternal judgment in a place called hell by being resurrected. And so therefore he has broken that power, and now we have an alternative route. You don't have to go down that path anymore. You don't have to go down this dead-end road. You can pick an alternative route, not only an alternative route, but an alternative destination. That's the even better part. You don't have to go to the same spot. You're passing out of, right? Out of death into life. Your alternative route brings you to a whole new destination, and that is eternal life with him in a place far beyond our imagination where the sun never sets and all sickness and disease and all sorrow and all that stuff is wiped away. Amen. That's where we all want to go. Yeah? Yeah. All right. I mean, so this is kind of like, if you're ever driving, you got your Google Map out, and you get that little notification, alternative route suggested. That's what Jesus is telling us. Hey, there's another way here that I highly suggest you take. But what do you have to do? You have to do it. You got to take it. You got to take ownership of it. You have to reach out and go, yep, accept that, and then begin to follow it. And and then you arrive at your better destination. Okay, so that's what Jesus is telling us here, that those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world, have passed out of death and into life. Why? Because God values freedom above all else. It's why he sent his son into the world. It's his whole reason for everything. His motivation for you is his love, but his reasoning is he wants you to be free. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. All right, freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from our sin. Freedom from the destined destination of being trapped by our sin, of not being able to do the right thing, of inevitably choosing the wrong thing, right? Free to be able to say, nope, I'm not doing things that way anymore. I'm going to do things a different way. I'm going to do things God's way. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the penalty for sin. Even if we live perfectly from here on, we still have to make up for the things that we did wrong before. And so God has remove that penalty. There is no fear of that. We don't have to fear separation from him. We don't have to fear that. And then the freedom from the fear of either of those things. We don't have to walk around going, oh man, I'm so afraid I'm going to mess up. I'm so afraid. Does God love me? I messed up again. And so am I going to go to hell now? No, he's removed all that. He's removed all of that. And Jesus is telling us the plan so that the disciples would understand who he is, and it would be a proof of who he is, that later on they would go, oh yeah, he told us that was going to happen. He said he was going to die for our sin and he was going to be resurrected. He told us that beforehand, and then he did it. See, it's easy for us to go to say make something up after the fact. Oh yeah, I knew I was going to come back to life. Anybody could do that. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to do it before it happens. I'm going to tell you about it, and then I'll do it. And he's the only person in the history of the universe who's ever made that kind of claim and backed it up. That's why he's the Messiah. That's why he's God, and we're not. So God does us to value our freedom. Therefore, right, we can live free of fear. I love this scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let's read this nice and loud together. Right? Can you read the font okay? You okay? A little different, but I thought I went with style. But let's read Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, since the children that share in flesh and blood, he himself also, I'm sorry, I can read it. He himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. This is why I say the number one fear we have and the origin of all other fear we have is the fear of death. We fear dying because we don't know, especially when we consider who Jesus was talking to at the time. We live in the benefit of knowing that Jesus was going to be resurrected, was resurrected, and that he lives forevermore and is coming back again. The disciples did not have that. They're encountering it in real time. And so he has to speak to them to say, look, this is what's going to happen. You've never seen anything like this before, but this is what's going to happen, and you can live without fear. And that's why the disciples are transformed later. Second service, we're going to have baptisms. So you can stick around for that if you want to see baptisms. And I'll talk about that. This is the difference maker for Peter and all the apostles. It's the resurrection that transformed them. They say, man, I can live in that same power too. Before that, weak, stupid, doing things the wrong way. After the resurrection, receiving the Holy Spirit, now they live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're able to do the things that God had called them to do that they thought would never be possible. Right? So all of our paralyzing fears come from a fear of death. And that is the ultimate example of the unknown and the uncontrollable. And we talk about, okay, I'm a comic book guy, I'm a superhero guy. I mean, Daredevil, the man without fear. How many of us would, like, think, you could, is anybody, Daredevil, their favorite? Anybody? Who? Right. The man without fear, there's a reason why the man without fear is a superhero. It's because he does things that aren't normal for human beings. He lives without fear. Well, that's because he can't see, so he doesn't know what's coming, right? No fear. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And maybe you've heard that scripture before, and we go, yeah, that's a really nice platitude. That's a nice ideal, but I'm not there, and I can't be there because I got this, that, and the other thing. But I'm telling you that God wants you to live without fear. So let's look fear right in the eye here. What are your fears? Anybody? Anybody? Everybody in the room except one person said they were afraid of something. So what is it? What? Spiders. That's a great example. Seth, I saw your picture this past week about the, what was it, a camel cricket? Anybody else see Seth's post about the camel cricket? Yeah. So go friend Seth on Facebook, not right now, but later. Go see a friend Seth on Facebook and look at the picture or Google it, camel cricket. Seth found one in his shed and said, I didn't know if I should get the tractor out or burn the shed down. I know my response. So I looked at Seth's picture and I saw his question and I said out loud, I would much rather swim with sharks, seriously, than deal with that thing, because that is unworldly looking. And nope. What else? What else are you afraid of? Heights? Who else is afraid of heights? Okay. Spiders? Anybody else afraid of spiders? Snakes? Closed spaces? Open spaces. Just being restricted. Okay. Failure. Oh, now we're getting deep. You can count on George to go deep. Fear of failure. Who else? Rejection. Who else? Loss. Fear of loss. Fear of judgment. Well, we're getting deep now. Suffering. What was that? The unknown. Too much life at the end of the money, not having enough. Absolutely. I mean, we're getting real this morning, folks. Right? I don't hear a balcony crew. Come on, balcony. What do you got? Public speaking, apparently. Crickets. They don't have fear of heights. Good for you. Yeah. I mean. I wanted to talk about and just be, you know, share some funny stuff about fears, you know, because at Vacation Bible School, which was 6 weeks ago or so already, Jenny got up and shared, was teaching the kids, and I'm listening to all the teachers, and Jenny's teaching, and I marvel at Jenny when she teaches, and she was so good. I'm like, man, I wish I could be like that, you know. I'm afraid I'm not like her, right? I'm not a good teacher like she is. And she's teaching, and she started sharing about some of our kind of epic adventures over the years. Things that we've done that people would say, man, that's really brave or stupid, or, you know, just it's a fine line there between the two, you know, or like, wow, I can't believe you did that. And she's very gracious when she tells the stories, and she shares them from her perspective about how they were things that she did afraid, and like, I can't believe we're doing this. And she makes me out to be like this, oh, he's super cool, you know, like cape flying in the wind, and he's no fear, you know. And she's very gracious about that, when the reality was I was just probably as afraid, if not more so. So, like, yes, we have gone bike riding in the Everglades with alligators. And so I took that picture from about 10 feet away. He's in the path. You don't really quite get that here, but he's about halfway out into the path. That's about a 6 to 8 foot alligator hanging out in the middle of the path. We had to go ride or make sure our bikes around him. We don't want to ride over him. That's a bad day. And I drove by him. And after I drove by him, I got off my bike. And I got down on the ground. Lay down on the ground, take that picture. Now, I put the bike in between us, so I'm shooting underneath the bike to take that picture. It's a great shot, right? But, and, oh, that's so cool. That's so stupid. That whatever. Right? Anybody else looking at it going, yeah, nope. Anybody? No, thanks. It's all teeth and scales. This is a dinosaur living, you know, this is a dragon. No, thanks. Right? And Jenny's like, oh, I can't, you know. And Jenny uses that story a lot to talk about that's what marriage is like. That not the scales and the teeth. Well, maybe, but that, you know, it was one of those things like, I can't believe we're doing this, and I'm afraid. And we got done and said, I'm so glad that I didn't know what it was like, because if I had known, I wouldn't have done it, but I'm so glad we did it. And that's what marriage is like. You know, you're going to go, I had no idea. If I had any idea it was going to be that you know, challenging. I wouldn't do it, but I'm so glad that we did, right? And so, but for me, you know, you think, wow, you're really brave. Look, I calculated the fact that this is a big creature who is surprisingly fast for his size, and just because he looks all docile and hanging out there doesn't mean that if he decides to, that he's going to be up on me faster than I can even process it, and that's going to be a really bad day, which is why I kept the bike in front of me, thinking, well, maybe he'll chew on that first. But I had other fears that day, too, of like, just like, first of all, you know, we were friends. I'm like, are they going to enjoy this as much as I am? Are we going to be able to actually finish the ride? Because it's Florida, it's hot, you know, and it's like a single gear bike, and it's the wind into our face both ways, and we're driving, and what if there's, you know, what if we break down? What if we can't do it? What if somebody has an accident and they fall into a canal with an alligator? Like, oh my goodness, right? I was afraid that we weren't going to get back on time to get our deposit back, because you'd be back by 5 o'clock. And I'm thinking, oh, it's getting late. Are we going to get back in time, you know? I'm more fearful. Is Jenny even going to talk to me for the rest of our lives? Those are real fears that we can, you know, but why not do it? Because I'm like, I'm going to, you know, this thing is, could eat me for lunch, literally, but I want to face fear, right? We've gone swimming with sharks on purpose. We paid money to do this on purpose. To travel to Florida, get on a perfectly nice boat, go out into the water, and abandon that boat. And we go out, you know, we get out in the water. I mean, this is the Atlantic Ocean. This is not some controlled environment. These are not trained sharks. They are as natural as can be. And we get out into the water, out into this drop-off point where they've been before, and they do all the things that they tell you not to do to attract sharks. They're throwing food in the water. Diver gets in, she's on the surface, splashing around like a wounded fish. All the things they tell you not to do, and she says, yep, we got sharks here. Okay, time to get in. And this was my idea. And they're like, okay, so here's your snorkel, and here's your fin, and here's your fins, and your buoyancy vest, and hop in. Now, this was my idea. And Jenny's like, oh, you know, Jenny's like, I did it afraid, and we paid money, so I was getting in it. Well, listen, I was like, she was the first one in the water. There was a part of me that said, I'm getting in. You have fun. It's like, oh, no, you were getting in one way or the other. You're either going to get in or you're going to be thrown in. And I get, like, I'm in there. And here's the thing. Have I mentioned that, like, Jaws is my favorite movie of all time? I know. All right. And have I mentioned the fact that I've never snorkeled before? Ever? Great time to learn. You know, to learn how to breathe when this doesn't work, and you're trying to breathe through there, and they tell you, okay, when you hop in, you know, make sure you keep your head this way, and keep it, and trying to remember all that stuff, and like making notes, you know. And like, but all that, you're kind of distracted by the fact that you can see these shadows moving underneath the water, that you're like, oh yeah, it's a bull shark. Okay. And so all this stuff, and I got the flippers on, and I get in the water, and I did exactly what they told me not to do. I kept my head this way, and so when I went in, I got a snorkel full of the Atlantic Ocean, and I couldn't breathe. And all the while, I'm watching the fact that there's these 6 to 8 foot animals with teeth swimming by, close by, and I can't breathe. Tell you what, folks, I'm going to be honest about this, right? Right? I wasn't worried about the sharks, but that was as close as I have ever come in my life to having a legit panic attack. And so, if anybody, you've ever been through that, like my heart was, because that's not fun times. Feeling like I could not breathe, could not get a lung full of air, you know, because I breathed in, I got a mouthful of the Atlantic, I couldn't get a deep enough breath to clear the tube out, so I'm choking on it and trying to, you know, and one of the divers come over, she's like, she looks at me, she's like, are you okay? You know, she's like, and I'm like, Jen's in the water next to me. You know, and I know she's doing this afraid, unwillingly, kind of, or being a bit begrudgingly, and I just crawl over the boat, like, done. Over the boat, you know, and now I'm sitting, now I'm doing exactly what they tell you, now I'm hanging vertically in the water, splashing, you know, can't breathe, I'm going to get my feet chewed off, you know, like, I got back in the water eventually, but I mean, this is the reality of what you're in with, right? I'm just, look at the teeth on that. Fear. You know, why would you do that? You're like, that's really brave or really stupid, one or the other, you know. And, like, I had to, like, really work through in my mind. And it was, I mean, maybe 2-3 minutes of struggling to get a breath of that time. You know, whenever you're afraid, some time, like, just take forever. How long was I in it? Well, it was a three-hour battle. No, it was like 30 seconds, really. You know, feel so, you know, and how your mind just wants to focus on the what ifs and the I can'ts and all that stuff. I get it, you know. I mean, at our men's retreat last year, we went ziplining. How many guys went on the zip line last time? That was a good time, right? It was a great time. Boyd, poor Boyd. Boyd wasn't so much zip lining as he was zip hanging. But I thought I signed us up for, hey, we're going to do the seven line zip line thing. And I get up, oh, okay, and we do the first zip line. Whee! You know, and they catch it there. And I get there, and I'm the second guy on. And they go, okay, so which obstacle course do you want to do, the easy or the hard? I said, neither. I signed up for zip lines, not obstacles. Oh, no, everybody does the obstacle course up here. That's heights. I didn't know, you know. And the first guy is already gone and chosen the hard path. He's like, come on, you got to do that. Well, you know, it's men's retreat. Hello. I can't take the easy way out. I got to do the hard obstacle course. So I get out, and it's these boards, you know, and you're like, you're strapped in. But still, I mean, anybody, who's afraid of heights? Anybody like heights? You know, like, and up there wobbling on a thing. Okay, got it across the first one. And I looked at the second one, and somebody has a video of it. You know, I don't want to. You actually hear me say out loud, how am I supposed to do this? It's a single rope across, and it got one rope that starts up here that comes all the way down to the rope at the end, and then another rope that comes up. I'm like, how am I supposed to get across it? Oh, you just walk out and carry on. But I said, but what out there? Well, you got to let go and grab the old one. I'm 20, 30 feet in the air. No thanks. I got across that line. I love this. It's tough to see, but Pete, grab this Pete picture. Thanks. I'm literally got my arm around a pole. Now, I'm strapped in like three different ways. You know, there's a ladder, all this stuff, and I'm like hanging on this thing for dear life. I was shaking, the adrenaline dump, more so than facing this thing. Heights, I'm just, nope. Not, you know, like, have you ever been like that? You know, so what does it, and again, you know, facing these kinds of fears, the reality, and I, you know, and why do I do these things? I do these things because I want to overcome fear. I don't want to live in that kind of like, I can't move, I can't, you know, like, I'm going to do these things, right? Facing these kind of fears, and you know, we began to talk about some of the things before about loss of control, about not having enough, you know. I'll tell you what, all this stuff, face-to-face with alligators and swimming with sharks and being doing zip lines and obstacle course, all this stuff, those fears were absolutely nothing to me having to give our little girl a hug because I'm going to the emergency room because I'm having severe chest pain and saying, it's going to be okay, but not knowing if it was going to be okay. Not knowing, is this going to be the last time we're going to see each other? Lying in a hospital bed and my wife having to be there and saying, it's going to be okay, but yet, we don't know. Having to take a helicopter flight because we got to expedite this surgery. We got to get this done now because every second could be your last. We live with those kind of things. And so, you know, I get it. And for anybody, everybody else in the room who's had those things, we know that fear is a very real thing. And listen, I don't fear death. I said this to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, if I die, I'm going to be with you. My eternal destination is secure. Psalm 23:4, read it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil, for you are with me. The valley of the shadow of death. Even though I came within a whisper of death itself, I fear no evil. Why? Because I'll wake, my last breath in this world will be my first breath in eternity, and I'll see Jesus face to face. And all the sorrow and all the pain and all the regret and all the stuff that we have will be wiped away and forgotten because he makes all things new. So I don't fear death. But what is it that we fear? Now, I love this lyric from it's an old song by Jars of Clay called Work. This lyric, I think, is so powerful. It says, I have no fear of drowning. It's the breathing that takes all this work. We can have no fear of dying, but have an intense fear of living because of the unknown, the uncontrollable. Fear isn't just an emotion. It's not just a thought. Half the times that the Bible uses the word fear in here, it's a verb. What do verbs do? Action. Verbs represent the actions we take as the result of what we believe. And so when the scriptures tell us, do not fear, for I am with you, says the Lord, he is talking about, don't be so paralyzed that you stay stuck, that you miss out on what God has for you, or that you do something that is irrational or away against God's ways because you're not thinking straight. It's what we do because of what we believe. And this is why God tells us over and over and over again, do not fear. These are just the times where he says that exactly. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid because I'm with you. God encouraging us to not live paralyzed, but to live energized because he's with us. And because he knew he had a plan in motion where he was going to remove and wipe out the origin of all our fears, the fear of eternal death, the fear of death and eternal separation from him. Do not fear. Proverbs 22, verse 4. Let's read Proverbs 22, verse 4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. That's why I love, Rick gets up and prays this morning. He doesn't know what the message is about. What did God say? There's a way out there. You got to do it my way. You do it my way, and you get riches, honor, and life. The abundant life. Every area of your life blessed because you do things his way. What's the opposite? Frame this in the opposite, though, in the anti, to drive home this truth. To live in fear, this paralyzing fear, this terror of the things of the world, is to be poor in mind, in attitude, and in resources. To be dishonored, to do things that are opposed or anti God's ways that lead to destruction, to be on that broad path that leads to destruction, and to ultimately end in death. The death of things in this world, the death of hope itself, and then your physical death, and then the eternal death. To live without terror is to live in respect of the Lord. This is not some deep theological truth. The ways of God are often very, very simple and straightforward. We make it complicated. We get complicated in the application of it. We have all, yeah, but God, you don't know about. Yeah, he does. Right? This is why everything, it's always very, very simple. Celebrate recovery, for whatever hurt habit or hang-up you got, whatever addiction, whatever thing you got going on in your life, 12 steps. Wow, there needs to be steps, 13 through 26. There's 12. Just do them and keep doing them. Right? 10 commandments. Really, we can boil it down to 2, make it really simple. I don't know. What about come back to the basics? We don't have to live in fear because God has removed the biggest and the origin of all our fear. We don't have to be afraid of him because he's not standing up there waiting to zap us with a lightning bolt. He's not standing there as some disapproving God who is upset with every little thing that we do wrong. Remember, he has done all of this because he loves us and because he wants us to be free. To revere him, to be in awe of him, is to be obedient to him. Jesus said, equating himself with the Father, said, if you love me, then you'll do what I ask you. You'll do what I say. You'll live things my way. That's what it means to be obedient. We struggle because we want to be free of fear, but then we don't give ourselves to God's ways, and so we live opposite to them, and then we wonder why we live in fear. Oh, come on, I don't see God working here. Well, are you doing things his way or not? Well, let's say this. Get another superhero reference, right? I love Batman, right? Well, and you hear me say, always be yourself. Be who God has created you to be. Unless you can be Batman, always be Batman, right? But think about it. This is why I love Batman. Because what does he say? You know, I will become fear. I will become a symbol of the thing that my enemies are afraid of. I will become that thing in the night that they're afraid of. Now, just bear with me. This is silly, but this is true. When you submit yourself to the authority of Jesus Christ, when you accept that, when you step into that relationship, and you say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. I am trusting you with this life and the eternal life, and I thank you that that eternal life is secure. Then you receive the promises that he said you could have, which is all the power and authority that he was given. He said, I have now given to you, which means you rule over the spiritual forces of darkness. You rule over the sin that is in this world. You rule over the things that want to drag you down. You over the schemes and the plots of the enemy. You become a representative of the very thing that the spiritual forces of darkness despise and fear themselves. They see you as Jesus Christ, and they are terrified by it. And that's why they work so hard to distract you, to deceive you, to delude you, to keep you from embracing that identity. It's all a scheme from him. So God says, look, we're going to remove all that. The devil has been rendered powerless, and so therefore walk in the authority that he has given you. Not of yourself, not of anything that you've accomplished, but what he has done himself for you. Live without fear. How do we, how do I practically do that? How do I overcome fear? Because I have a fear of spiders. I have a fear of loss. I have a fear of not being able to provide. All right? It's pretty simple. All right, and apologize, that's a little tough to see, but first and foremost, do things God's way. Meditate on his word. What are you feeding on? Check your intake. What are you taking in? Is it a healthy majority dose of God's ways? Or are you listening to other influences out there? Whether it's the news or your friends who don't have a relationship with Christ or anything out there or social media or whatever politician or influencer is out there, what are you listening to? What are you feeding on? What are you reading? What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of TV shows do you watch? All that stuff becomes part of your intake. That becomes part of what you believe. So if you want to act differently, you have to change your belief system. So focus and meditate on what God's word says. And again, all the times, and we'll make these notes available, all the times that God says, do not fear because I am with you. He has promised that he would be with you, that he has overcome all these things in the world, that you are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. That everywhere you go, that every place you put your foot, he would make you victorious. Meditate on God's word. Start there. Start there and make that the majority of your intake. I also, it's not just a spiritual thing. There is physical things. And we forget to breathe. We forget to breathe. And so, again, as an instructor, I would teach you, this is step number one, how to breathe. And we go, oh, I know how to do that. I'm breathing. That's not going to help you in a stressful situation, okay? When you're facing your camel cricket or whatever it is, hyperventilating is not going to help. So take 30 seconds to... You can do that right here. Breathe from here. God has created your physical body. It's all connected. Your physical to the mental, to the emotional, to the spiritual. So you take that deep breath, and man, the oxygen floods your brain, and now all of a sudden, the irrational thoughts go away, and you're able to, oh, okay, now I know what I'm going to do, right? I got man in a can, I got rage, so the camel cricket's going to go away, right? I'm bigger than he is. He's not going to turn around and jump and latch onto my face and lay eggs in my nose or anything like that, right? We can do this. But it begins with breathing. Inventory your thoughts. As you're breathing, your mind is calming down. Inventory your thoughts. And I'm going to challenge you. These are the questions that I have begun to ask myself, especially over the last 2 months in light of a near-death experience, which I never really feared death before, but it throws it into this sharp relief, right? Ask yourself these questions. When you're afraid, you're getting worried about something. How are we gonna pay the bills? Are we gonna stress out about this? You know, are we gonna stress about what this person said, or are we gonna stress about this or that or the other thing? Ask yourself, is this gonna be important 30 years from now? When I'm on my deathbed, you know, if I'm blessed enough to know when that time is coming, and I'm reflecting on my life, is this moment gonna be one of them? If the answer is no, don't worry about it. Ask yourself this question. If this is the last thing I say to this person, or if this is the last thing I do for this person, is that good or bad? What is the impact going to be beyond this point if this is the last thing I ever do? I have begun in recent weeks in my preparation for messages like this. I write at the top of the message, if this is the last message I ever give, what do you want to say, Lord? That kind of importance on it. You begin to live with that kind of inventory where you're taking conscious control over your thoughts, you will direct the course of your life. You will find yourself stepping into the abundant life that God has promised, the place where he wants you to be, where he needs you to be, where you're the right person at the right time to be his instrument to accomplish his purposes. And all this wraps up over the last couple weeks. We've heard this say, you know, do it afraid. Like Jenny said in her message, you know, every day that you are obedient to God, you are walking on water. You're doing the impossible. You're getting out of the boat. So do it afraid. Don't let fear hold you back. Listen, understand the voice of the enemy. Understand the voice of your God, your Heavenly Father, your Savior, who loves you and wants the best for you. And who's going to call you out of your comfort zone to live in his zone. That's where life really is. Do it afraid. Get out of the boat. Roll the reel. See what happens. You know, look back, whether it's 5 minutes or 50 years, look back on all that God has done and let hope spring in your heart to say, here's what he's going to do next. Roll the reel, wield the shield, experience the abundant life. Let's read, this is 1 John. I don't have the scripture there. It's 1 John chapter 4. Let's read this. By this, love is perfected in us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Let that sink in. Because as Jesus Christ is right now, so he has created you and made you to be in this world. Overcomers in all things. There is no fear in love, but perfect or mature love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. God has removed the punishment. He's removed the eternal separation because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. All you have to do is accept it, and then that's off the table, and you have nothing left to fear. Now, that is a process. Love has to mature. It has to grow in understanding over time. So our challenge this morning is to let your love be matured. Let your love be matured. Music team, you guys want to come on up? I know we're about out of time here, but question simply this morning is, we do all this, and I recognize that you may be here and you don't have that, you still have that fear of death, the fear of judgment, eternal separation. So I'm going to ask you all to just close your eyes for a minute. If you do not have the assurance of eternal life, you live in fear of the unknown, and you don't want it. You want to have the confident assurance that your eternal destiny is secure. You want that. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and look at me. So can I agree with anybody here making a decision? I see you there. I see you. Anybody else? Okay. Second question is there an area in your life where your love needs to be matured, where your obedience to the Lord needs to be matured? And so you're hanging on to fear in that area. Anybody here wrestling with something like that? Okay. Raise your hands. All right. Let's see. We're going to pray. We're going to pray together, out loud together. We're going to go to the Lord, and then we're going to let him work in our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for loving me so much. You gave your life for me so that I wouldn't have to live in fear. Today, Lord, I accept your payment for my sin. I believe you died and rose again for me so that, Lord, I could pass out of death and into life. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for the assurance. And thank you for your word, which applies to every area of my life. Work in me, Lord. Have your way. Let my love and my obedience in you be matured. Thank you, Lord, that because of you, I can live without fear. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.